This is VK2WI. Tonight's news broadcast from Amateur Radio New South Wales originates from the VK2WI facilities at Dural, Sydney, which is staffed by the volunteers of our broadcast team. Transmissions this evening are being made on frequencies between 160 metres and 23 centimetres. The announcer will advise on the transmitter status. In addition, automated relays will carry the broadcast through some regional VHF and UHF repeaters, and we thank the custodians of these systems for making the service available. Now, here are your announcer and engineer with this evening's news.
Good evening and thank you for joining us. This is VK2WI News, live from our studios at Dural in Sydney. I'm your announcer this evening, Peter, VK2BEU, and in engineering tonight is the other Peter, VK2EMU. The weather here tonight is actually quite cold. It's 13 degrees outside. The sky is clear, but it's surprisingly windy. It's unusual to have wind on a cold winter's night, but we have it here at Dural. Rainfall at the site for the last week was 17 millimetres, which is quite a good drop. And Peter's done all the checks and he tells me that the transmitter status is A-OK. And on the ARNSW RadNet, VK2RAG and VK2RGL are currently offline. All other repeaters are operating normally.
This is a news broadcast from VK2WI. March 2010 marked 100 years of the WIA, the world's oldest amateur radio society. It was started in 1910 as a result of a meeting held in Sydney by a group of experimenters seeking a better deal. This is VK2WI. We now continue with this evening's news.
In the news from Amateur Radio New South Wales for this week. Later in this bulletin, we have a summary of on-air activities from both Sydney and across New South Wales. We welcome any updates from clubs and groups. Simply email news at arnsw.org.au. We don't mean full items, just the details of the activity and contacts. General inquiries can be directed to the ARNSW office via email to office@arnsw.org.au or by leaving a phone message on 02 94 44 0123. Tonight we welcome listeners on the EchoLink Ham Conference and the Australian and New Zealand EchoLink Network. Callbacks will also be taken after the bulletin. Our thanks go to John VK3HJQ and the Australian and New Zealand EchoLink Network team for making this relay available. Now we come to the weekly solar and geophysical report with data thanks to the Australian Space Weather Forecasting Centre. Firstly, the summary of activity from the 3rd to the 9th of July. So the dates across the columns are 3rd, 4th, 5th, 6th, 7th, 8th and 9th. The 10 centimetre flux values are 187, 161, 139, 125, 110, 116 and 110 on the 9th. The Fredericksburg A index figures are 11, 40, 19, 6, 4, 11 and 10 with an asterisk. I don't know what that's supposed to mean. The Australian A index numbers are 4, 38, 12, 2, 1, 8 and 11 estimated. The T index figures are 85, 108, 90, 74, 59, 72 and 67. Solar flare activity was at R2 on the 3rd with 3 M-class flares. Activity reached R3 on the 4th of July with 12 M-class flares and an X1.3 flare at 2041 UTC. The 5th was an R2 with 10 M-class flares across the day. The 7th, 8th and 9th were at R1 levels, each with an M-class flare. Geomagnetic activity in the Australian region reached G1 on the 4th and was low to moderate on other days. remaining below warning threshold. A weak JO magnetic impulse of 8 nanotesla was observed at 1200 UTC on the 3rd. Ionospheric F2 critical frequencies in southern Australia were mostly near predicted monthly values. Frequencies were enhanced by 25% during local day on the 4th, 15% during the day and 20% during local night on the 5th, and 15% during local night on the 9th. The forecast, issued on the 10th of July through to the 16th, solar activity is expected to reach R1 levels. Geomagnetic activity may reach G1 early in the week, with low to moderate activity later in the week. Maximum usable frequencies in the Australian region are expected to be mildly depressed due to forecast geomagnetic activity early in the week, returning after that to near predicted monthly values. So the solar flux index update is figures for the week. Having finished June, we have had a minimum of 111, an average of 139, and a maximum of 203, with peak dates for the 2nd to the 5th and the 25th to the 30th. So far for July, we're expecting a minimum of 110, an average of 149, and a maximum of 203, with peak dates from the 1st to the 4th and the 22nd to the 31st. And looking ahead to August, we're expecting a minimum of 130, an average of 147, and a maximum of 165, with peak dates from the 1st to the 5th and the 14th to the 21st. And that update came with our thanks to Noel, VK2FUL. Now we come to Foundations of Amateur Radio, a series written and produced by Ono, VK6FLAB, and it continues a weekly examination of the building blocks of amateur radio.
One of the first questions a new amateur asks is, which radio should I buy? It's a topic I've discussed at length, and the answer, it depends, is unhelpful without doing more research. But after you've done the work, you'll be able to answer it for yourself. A question that is just as important, but not asked nearly enough, frankly I've not heard it in the decade I've been part of this community, is, how should I build my shack? The answer is just as useful. It depends. So, let's explore what precisely your shack design depends on. Let me start with pointing out that I'm not here to give you answers. You can watch hundreds of YouTube videos, read a gazillion web pages, and get no closer than discover how others have answered this question. It wasn't until recently that I understood that it was a question at all, but airing my frustration at the level of dysfunction of my shack unearthed it, and in attempting to answer my own question, I started to explore the landscape. As with choosing a first radio, one of the very first answers you need for yourself about the ideal shack is, what do you want to use it for? That in and of itself is not enough. I had an answer for that. I want to operate my weekly net, I want to do casual HF contesting, have a beacon running, and have space for experimentation. It wasn't until Ben, Victor Kilo 6 November Charlie Bravo, suggested that I dedicate a single radio to the weekly net and the contesting, and use the other for experimentation, that I discovered that this wasn't going to work for me. I want to be able to use both my radios at the same time, in a so-called single operator two radio setup, or SO2R. This will allow me to extend the boundaries of my comfort zone, and in doing so will give me plenty of new things to learn. So the question, what do you want to use your shack for, is probably the single most important thing you need to discover. If you're like me, the obvious answer is everything. But reality soon sets in and you might start to create an actual list of things that you want to do. Prompted by Ben's suggestion, I was able to articulate for the very first time something that I didn't want to do. I didn't want to set a radio aside for experimentation. So, when you're considering what you want to achieve, also think about what you don't want. For example, I have no interest in using the 6-meter band at this time. Not because it's a bad band, far from it. It's because I'm not permitted to use it with my current license. Same for the 23-centimeter band. This means that I don't have to find ways of making my shack accommodate those two bands. My current license permits me access to precisely 6 bands, and the station I'm building only needs to access those bands at the moment. That brings me to the next question for the ideal shack design. How long do you expect the layout to last? For example, are you going to build a new building for your shack for the next 50 years, or is it something that's going to last for the weekend? Is your shack going to be moved, or is it something a little more permanent? Are you going to change your needs, and should you incorporate some of that into your design? Or are you perfectly happy with what you're doing today? You have to remember, this is your shack, not mine, not your friend's, yours. It means that it needs to accommodate what you want. The next question, boring as it might be, how much money are you going to spend? Building a whole new shack out of the catalogue is perfectly fine, but you might discover that the gear you have today is ample to get your shack started. You might leave space for a different piece of kit, or you might decide that the shack needs changing when a new shiny piece of equipment arrives in a nondescript brown box. Some other things to consider are what operating actually looks like. I've seen shack videos that look like a tour through a radio museum with more radios than I have keys on my keyboard, sometimes all connected, other times just stored on shelves to look at. Are you going to have more than one radio operating at the same time? And if so, how are you planning to control them? How many antennas are connected to this shack, and how do you track which antenna is connected to which radio? What are you going to do about power? Does everything run on mains power, or are you going to build a 13.8-volt supply for all your gear? Where are you planning to put computer screens? What about keyboard, mouse, Morse key, and antenna switching controls? In other words, what do the ergonomics of your shack look like? Remember, there is no right answer. The answer you come up with is yours and yours alone. Look at things that work for you, and take note of things that make you wince when you see it in another shack somewhere. That's not to say you should be dismissive, rather use the opportunity to ask the shack owner why they made that choice. Who knows, it might cover something you hadn't considered yet. So, what does your ideal shack look like? I'm Ono, Victor Kilo 6, Foxtrot Lima, Alpha Bravo.
Thanks, Ono. For more information about this series, including audio transcripts and other useful amateur radio resources, Ono's website is vk6flab.com, and you can contact Ono by email to cq@vk6flab.com.
This is a news broadcast from VK2WI. To submit news for inclusion in these sessions, please email it to news@arnsw.org.au by the end of business on Friday. You can help us with presentation by writing your news item in the third person and limiting it to about one A4 page in an easily read font. This is VK2WI. We now continue with this evening's news.
Now we come to some Weissen news. 9 members took part in last weekend's Skills and Maintenance Day with a focus on deploying 2 portable communications trailers. One group deployed the silver trailer to a nearby shopping centre car park and set up a portable DMR repeater. The repeater was linked into the Weissen DMR network, and communications were successfully tested using handheld radios via the Walks Hill repeater. Back in Dural, the second group deployed the yellow trailer, including raising the mast and testing communications with the portable repeater. Maintenance was also carried out to address corrosion affecting the trailer's solar panels. Echo radios were used as a secondary communications link between the two sites and were used to able to contact Weissen members in Canberra and Newcastle. The annual general meeting of Weissen New South Wales will be on 10 a.m. on Sunday the 2nd of August at VK2WI Dural. AGM papers have now been distributed to members via their VRA email addresses. The current Secretary and Treasurer will not be seeking re-election. Both have generously offered to support those who take on the roles, ensuring a smooth handover. Members interested in becoming more involved with Weissen are encouraged to consider joining the committee or nominating for one of the vacant positions. The Shazada 400 endurance ride is at St Albans from Monday the 24th to Friday the 28th of August. Central Coast Weissen will be providing safety communications for this event. If you are interested in helping out, even just for a day, please contact Glenn via the Weissen operations email. This year's Hawkesbury Canoe Classic is on the weekend of the 24th and 25th of October. Weisen is seeking volunteers for the event, including the event organiser and event commander roles. Full support will be available, so you won't be taking on either role alone. If you're interested in this or any other Weisen activity, contact operations via email to weisen.ops@vrarescue.org. Don't forget to include the event you're interested in. Weisen New South Wales weekly voice nets are on Sunday evenings from 6pm on a number of repeaters around Sydney. The next Winlink net is on next Monday night at 8pm. Check the Weisen website for details. Weisen New South Wales is a communication support squad of VRA Rescue New South Wales. For more information about Weisen, visit the website at nsw.weisen.org.au. Now we come to club news, and we start this week, as we always do, with the Oxley Region Amateur Radio Club. Last Thursday's coffee morning was particularly well attended. Despite some earlier rain, members enjoyed a warm and sunny morning catching up over coffee. Informal coffee meetings are on the second Thursday of each month, and everyone is welcome. The club's July Friday night get-together is at 7pm on Friday the 17th in the Port Macquarie SES building. The club's annual general meeting will be at 2pm on Saturday the 1st of August 2026 in the Port Macquarie SES building. The August monthly general meeting will be held after conclusion of the AGM. Assessments for self-study candidates can be arranged at short notice for all licensed grades. The next foundation training and assessment weekend will be scheduled soon once sufficient registration have been received. Anyone interested in gaining an amateur radio licence or upgrading an existing qualification can register their interest via the contact form on the ORARC website. There are two club nets each week, the midweek net from 7:30pm on Thursday nights and the weekend net at 9am on Sunday mornings. Both nets are on the VK2 RPM 2-metre repeater on 146.7MHz with a 91.5Hz subaudible tone for access. Echo link access is also available on VK2RPM-R. During nets, the repeater is linked to VK2RCN at Telegraph Point via Echo link. VK2RCN is on 147.0MHz with a -600kHz offset and a 91.5 subaudible tone for access. For more information about the Oxley Region Amateur Radio Club, visit the website at orarc.org. The site contains a wealth of amateur radio items in addition to club information. The May issue of the club's bi-monthly newsletter, Oxtails, is now available on the club website, and past issues of Oxtails can be downloaded or viewed online. The July issue is in preparation and will be published soon. The club is also on Facebook. Just search for Oxley Region Amateur Radio Club. And all of that came from Henry, VK2ZHE, for the Oxley Region Amateur Radio Club.
This is a news broadcast from VK2WI. For voice contact with Amateur Radio New South Wales, telephone 02 9651 1490, which will take you to our message bank. For written contact, write to P.O. Box 6044, Dural Delivery Centre, New South Wales 2158, or email office@arnsw.org.au. This is VK2WI. We now continue with this evening's news.
Our news from the Central Coast Amateur Radio Club. The Carry-On Club Blooms are open each Saturday from 10:30am, with members and visitors always welcome. At the time of submission, VK2RAG Summersby is only running a limited number of services. Current repeater status can be seen on the repeaters link on the club website. The club's weekly net is on Thursday nights at 8pm on the VK2RAG 2-metre repeater. That's on 146.725MHz with a 91.5Hz subaudible tone and via Echo link on the ham conference. It is also live video streamed on the club's Facebook page. You can find out more about the CCARC, including the things we can't talk about here, on the web at ccarc.org.au, by phone on 02 4340 2500, which normally goes to Message Bank, or on social media by searching for Central Coast Amateur Radio Club. Remember to follow the page to receive updates. That came with 73 from Alan VK2MG, the publicity officer for the Central Coast Amateur Radio Club. Waverley Amateur Radio Society. The Society's next meeting is on Wednesday the 15th of July at East's, Bondi Junction. There is no formal presentation planned this month. Members are encouraged to bring along their mesh work networking equipment for an informal show and tell discussion. Club's recent annual general meeting saw Serge, VK4SB, elected to the committee following the retirement of Stephen, VK2RH. The Society thanks Stephen for his service and welcomes Serge to the committee. Weekly Nats are on Monday evenings at 8 p.m. on VK2RBV, 438.1125 MHz, with a minus 5.4 MHz offset and a 91.5 Hz tone for access. Net controllers Richard, VK2XRC, or Bob, VK2NRC. For information about the Waverley Amateur Radio Society, visit the website at vk2bv.org. That came with 73 from Eric, VK2VE, the Broadcast Publicity Officer. Manly Warringah Society. And now with news from the man from the Society, here's Richard, VK2SK.
Earlier this week, the Society was under attack. More specifically, the company that hosts our website experienced a distributed denial-of-service attack. The practical upshot was that for a couple of days, the club website and the VK2MB Kiwi SDR receiver were unavailable, but normal services have been restored. This Wednesday is supposed to be lecture night, but so far we have no confirmed speaker. Maybe someone will put their hand up at the next couple of days. Meanwhile, you can find past lectures and other videos on the club YouTube channel, VK2MB TV. Feel free to use them at your next club meeting. The Society's 2026 Build-A-Thon in Barbie is on this Saturday, where members will build the Hamfist Morse decoder and the updated NTP clock for the shack. We'll have photos of the event on the website afterwards, so you can see what fun you missed. All the kits have been sold out, but don't worry, the design documents are available online, so you can make up your own kits. The 29th of July is another fifth Wednesday, which means it's time for another show-and-tell night. The theme is weird, rare, or just unusual. Components, radio, electronic or mechanical, whatever it is.